Why do you think your blog has been so successful?
I just think it hit a nerve that it. I knew that there definitely was information that was not being talked about because it was the kinds of conversations I was having inside corporations with many employees, you know, kind of after meetings or in, you know, gatherings at a restaurant or something, you know, after an all-day event. I knew that there were a lot of questions that people had. So I think it's the content, the nature of the information is really relevant. I also think that it's an example of when, because I am so interested and passionate about it and I really enjoy doing it, that is something that people can relate to. I think they you know, it's always fun to read something that somebody really cares about. I feel that way about topics that I'm not even really knowledgeable about, like the Jolan software, Joel Slotsky, who writes about software. I love his blog, and I don't know the first thing about engineering or software development, but I love to read it because obviously he knows what he's talking about and he's passionate. So I think that's one thing. The other thing I've realized over time that's also part of my nature, which I never would have known before starting, is I'm what Malcolm Gladwell refers to in his book, The Tipping Point, as a connector.
Right.
And if anybody has read that book, there's different profiles of people. A connector is someone who takes great pleasure in just connecting people with resources and ideas. And I know that that's my nature. And so I like to constantly be scanning out there in the environment and building relationships with many, many, many different kinds of people and then sharing that information with my blog readers. So it always makes me really happy, and it actually happens quite a bit, that people will, that have been my blog readers will, you know, talk about John Jantz from Duct Tape Marketing or talk about Havi Brooks from Affluent Self, who's another blogger that focuses on, you know, blocks and procrastination and stuff. And I know that a lot of that, you know, for some of them, it's because I've written about those people on my blog. And it just, that's part of what I like to do is to, if people are coming from a situation where they really don't know a lot about a topic, I like to kind of hand select what I consider to be some of the best resources out there. So I think that's another part of what's made my blog enjoyable for folks.
Yeah, that's cool. And it's like a nice way to reward other passionate people who are doing good stuff too. You know, the John Jantzes and those folks.
Yeah, you just know. You know when it's a fit. You know when something's really going to be useful.
I also know that you're a coach. That's a big part of what you do, and that comes through too. How did you get into coaching?
I have coached in different capacities for a long time. When I did my management consulting work, it did involve a lot of coaching of managers and leaders. So I would coach them through all kinds of situation challenges with employees or communication situations where they were getting ready to deliver a big presentation or things like that. So some of the general coaching skills and, you know, kind of technical element of coaching I had done for a long time. I also taught martial arts for 11 years. And so there was that side of coaching that I've really been used to and enjoy. In terms of really getting certified as a life coach, I actually found Martha Beck, who is who I trained with, believe it or not, when she was on Oprah. And my best friend called me and said, this was years ago, and said, "You are Martha Beck." And I said, "What? Who is this person?" And she said, she's doing this thing that you should be doing. It's called life coaching." And I didn't even know what it was. And so I was really interested in Martha, and I read her book, Finding Your Own North Star. And I really just became fascinated by the whole topic. How can you really, Martha's very, really has a very, both an intellectual and also a very heartfelt approach to coaching. She does studies all kinds of things, from brain science to all kinds of different sociological elements. And so I really was excited to learn more about that so I could be of more resource to people, you know, not just kind of knowing how to walk through a good conversation, but really understand what was motivating people and why was it so hard for them to change sometimes and things like that. So I studied with Martha, and it was a matter of a whole number of years that I moved over to doing the full-time coaching. As I said, once I moved to Arizona, I knew I was ready to delve into the topic of coaching people from corporate employees to entrepreneurs. And it also really fit my life plan because I did want to have kids, which I did. I've had two beautiful children in the last 4 years. So it really fit well. And the nice thing is, given technology and everything else, I can coach people all over the world, just given some of the basic technology we have. It's really been a wonderful thing.
Yeah. It's interesting, as you tell your story, I'm kind of struck by how a lot of times you've kind of combined practical things that you knew about yourself and your life or what you wanted for yourself, and then been sort of ready at the right time when opportunities like your friend called you about Martha or the thing you did with Get Known Now. Does that, I guess, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I am very much, I grew up in Marin County, California. Anybody who's familiar with the area knows that we are woo-woo people over there, right? Yeah. We talk about things like the universe, you know, without a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Anybody from, you know, the heartland or the East Coast just rolls their eyes. But but to me, it's always been part of the way that I view the world. I love to learn. I love to study. I love to do every kind of assessment possible, right? Myers-Briggs and DISC, and bring it on. I love to learn about myself because I found through experience that the more I really know my strengths, then the better work that I do and the more happy I am. And then I also have just become so aware of how amazing it is sometimes, the kind of coincidences that happen, the kind of opportunities that happen. And it happens so often now that I don't even question it. You know, it's like, who knows exactly why or how it happens. But when you begin to pay attention to something or to say, I really would love to learn more about, you know, this area, or I'm really hungry to learn this next stage of, you know, topic in my career, the opportunities just come up. And I was just, another example from this whole blogger trip I took this weekend, I was there with Charlene Lee, and she's a really wonderful, smart person and a well-known speaker. And as we were running around this aircraft carrier, you know, she was giving me all kinds of tips about creating a speaking business. And Annie Cernovitz is another one from Word of Mouth Marketing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you could say, I mean, how random is it to go on this kind of bizarre aircraft carrier trip? It was just this kind of weird situation. But I had just before going on the trip been really thinking about the next stage of my speaking business, and I really wanted to learn from people who knew it well. And then, as fate would have it, right, I have very successful speakers that I'm just running around with, you know, with amazing opportunity. And it would never have been something that I would have thought about before. So it's an example. I mean, you can look at it from a scientific perspective of when you tell your brain to focus on certain things, then it narrows the focus and you are much more aware. The classic example they use is when you tell somebody to think about a blue car, they're going to go out in the city and all of a sudden they're going to be aware of blue cars, right? Because
right.
you've told your brain to focus on one thing. So that's definitely part of it. The other part is sometimes the opportunities are so wild and so wonderful that I just feel like there has to be another, you know, little sprinkle of fairy dust from somewhere. And I just think that's the cool part, is it does create an amazing adventure and a lot of fun opportunities. But I think just being open to it is part of, you know, kind of having that whimsy and not being afraid of just agreeing to do things that you don't always understand exactly what they are, but oftentimes really wonderful things can come out as a result.
Yeah. Do you think you've always been that way, or is that something you've appreciated, or was there a changing point for you at some point in your life?
Oh, ask my mom. I have always been just completely shifting in the wind. When I was in high school, I all of a sudden just had this vision that I was going to be an exchange student. And I came home with complete determination and told my mom I was going to spend my senior year abroad. And I did it. We didn't have any money. She was a single mom. We had no idea how we were going to make it work. But
yeah.
I just get the feeling and I follow it. And I've been very, very much that way. I traveled a lot. I lived in a lot of different countries earlier on in my 20s.
Uh-huh.
And I've just always been that kind of person.